This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
In the news on Off Script.
Sounds officious, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds a bit like ominous even.
Yeah.
I feel a little frightened from that. What's going to come next?
And this is where we tackle kind of the hard news subjects. We've given ourselves a niche to go to those news stories that generally we shy away from. Those tough, difficult news stories sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, for...
You just insisted. You insisted we start going there.
Yeah,
and where are we starting, Rob?
We're starting by talking about the recent headlines surrounding an item that two out of the three of us own in the studio, the Stanley Cup. Okay? Now, this is really a feature which just picks out a couple of news, you know, something that's in the news, which the Stanley Cup undoubtedly is right now. And I just thought I'd found a couple of headlines which I found interesting. Yeah. And the first reads, "I love my Stanley Cup and all of you are making me embarrassed to have one." And this is, of course, when something becomes popular.
Yeah.
It's almost like a song you like.
Yeah, it becomes a bit cringe, right?
It becomes overplayed.
Very fast.
Everyone loves it, and then you don't love it so much.
Yeah.
You want something to be something that you've just discovered. But, of course, we're all victims of trends and marketing.
Especially if you were there first, you know? If you had the Stanley Cup like 4 years ago and it's been something that you've always enjoyed and now all of a sudden everybody's got one.
Yeah.
And it takes away your individuality and your uniqueness.
The Stanley Cup's been around for over 100 years.
Yeah.
And it's just recently in the last couple of years because they've given it a few new colours. It's gotten popular because
it had to do with some social media, either gimmick or video, where somebody's car set on fire and then there was a Stanley Cup with a cold coffee inside or something.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah. In that form, the form that it's in now, is that what you could get before? Well, or has that just become is that a very new, updated design?
I think it's the same as they've had for the last couple of years. I don't know anything about a new design, but I think it's just one of those things, thanks to social media and suddenly tweens sort of screaming when they got them for Christmas.
Yeah,
and a couple of TikTok videos. I think it's just one of those things. There's a mania around it now.
The one that's really caught the headlines is the one that you and I own, Sohn. It was the one that was sold at this weekend's Hero Dubai Desert Classic. It is the 40-ounce Stanley Adventure Quencher Travel Tumbler.
You can't go on many adventures with that. It's too big. You need an extra bag for
it. You just like to think of yourself as somebody who has an adventure quencher, you know?
Yeah, true.
Anyway, this writer for the Business Insider, no less, says, "As Stanley mania peaks, I am here to weigh in. I love my Stanley Cup and all of you need to chill out. It's making me embarrassing. It's making it embarrassing to have one," says this writer. "First of all," they go on, "it's always a bit painful when something you enjoy achieves mainstream popularity or worse, internet notoriety. What started as my perfect lazy girl cup during the early days of remote work is now the subject of ridicule, a shorthand for everything that's wrong with TikTok, consumerism and culture."
If that didn't say lazy girl, I would have said you'd said that, Robbie.
Yeah. Yeah. This is essentially exactly what you're describing. This is a young woman who got on the trend early and is now totally... She's written for the Business Insider, for goodness sake. She says Target workers, the supermarket Target, are in turn reportedly getting fired for buying the cups. Middle schoolers are enacting their own reusable cup version of Lord of the Flies over who has a real Stanley and who dares to tote a dupe.
I did read a story about this, about how a girl was saying, she was like a 13-year-old girl who's like, "Yeah, well, everybody likes to speak to me now, but it's only when I have my Stanley."
Really?
What? I mean...
A sorry state of affairs.
Anyway, the writer goes on to admit that internet and influencers are partially the reason I have a Stanley Cup in the first place. "Like others, I encountered it via word of mouth with a healthy dash of TikTok influencing sprinkled on the top." So, I mean, you can't then point the finger, can you?
Yeah, if you had one 5 years ago because you just kind of discovered its robust kind of frame.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, its practical usage. But if you're one of the ones who saw all the TikToks and was like, "I need me one of those," you can't be complaining about everybody else doing
the same.
You can't.
You certainly can't. Anyway, CNBC has reported that Stanley used to rake in $70 million in annual sales pre-craze. In 2023... they reported that its annual sales would be over 750 million.
Oh, wow.
Over 10 times.
That's incredible.
I hope they're ready, though, for when it's just overnight not cool anymore. Because there's already...
We've already reached that point. Yeah. I own one, which means it's not cool anymore.
That is true.
If you wanted the marker...
That day that you walked in with that, I have to admit, I was a bit surprised. to see you carrying the kind of
you looked at me and you went,
water tumbler of 13-year-olds.
You went, oh, Stanley Cups aren't cool anymore. What if I just happen to like a nice, robust tumbler that keeps my water at the exact same temperature that I put it in at?
Which is exactly, James has actually been in touch. I was wondering if we were going to have to do this. What is a Stanley Cup? I just kind of assumed everybody by now has seen this craze and this phenomenon. But it is. That's exactly what it is. It's a very large tumbler that has a certain shape so that it fits in your car holder pretty well. It's got a little handle so you can hold it. And it's got like a little sippy cup straw.
It's got a sippy cup straw. You can twist it and actually drink out of it if you prefer. Yeah. And I tell you what, it's very effective at keeping whatever liquid is in it at the exact same temperature for a long period of time.
Yeah, it's one of those steel insulated kind of tumblers,
James.
That's
the one. Yeah, exactly that. Right, couple of quick headlines. Woman arrested after being pulled over for with $2,500 worth of Stanley Cups in her car.
Wow.
She allegedly basically raided a supermarket in Sacramento, and staff of the supermarket saw her loading like literally dozens, 65 stainless steel water bottles in this California store. And the police basically released a statement saying the suspect refused to stop for staff, stuffed her car with the stolen merchandise. An officer spotted the suspect vehicle as it entered Highway 65. While Stanley quenches are all the rage, it went on, we strongly advise against turning to crime to fulfill your hydration habits.
That was according to the... That is insane. What a blatant and bold attempt at shoplifting, not even hiding it, filling up a cart full and just walking out as people are yelling at you to please stop and pay. Like,
now,
not even being furtive about it.
In Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, who was the girl that got her dad, Veruca Salt?
Yes, Veruca Salt.
Right. This is 2024's answer to Veruca Salt.
Okay.
Stanley Cup Collector 16 says her parents have spent $3,000 to get her every style tumbler.
No.
This is according to Fox Business. A 16-year-old from Alabama has had her folks spend over $3,000 so she can collect every single style of cup available. She said, I'm obsessed. Wow. Her name is Amelia Awad. She told the Wall Street Journal that after getting her first cup a year ago, she now has 67. The insulated cup, which is, of course, called the Stanley Adventure Quencher Travel Tumbler and dubbed the Quencher, has its loyal fan base, and she has been racking up millions of views on TikTok showcasing her collection.
I mean, this is so upsetting, which parents are spending $3,000, so about 10,000 dirhams, give or take, on reusable tumblers for their kid. Where do you even put 67 of these? These are massive.
Yeah. You need a full room, the size of those things.
You need a whole kitchen cabinet. Yeah. Half your kitchen needs to be like dedicated to storing those.
Yeah.
This is really upsetting.
Yeah, and we got you on for your birthday.
Yeah, you did. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I've been really using it to hydrate throughout the day, which I didn't do before.
But we're going to link this with our next little chat, because apparently TikTok is actually changing the way people speak, and it's changing the English language itself. This quintessential dialect that you hear from Roger Pryor may be going massively out of fashion in the next few months. TikTok is apparently changing the way we speak, and women are leading the charge, according to a male professor. I had to throw that in because I saw your eyebrows arch already in a kind of defensive way. And this is some bloke who's accusing women of changing the way we speak. Not for the better. I am of my own personal opinion.
I have a feeling I'm going to agree with him as well. So I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Now, prepare to be irritated, okay? Because this dreaded algorithm that is ruling our lives is now changing our dialect and the way we intonate and the way we talk. And it turns out there is a TikTok voice. Now, it includes uptalk, which is like a rising intonation on declarative sentences, and another thing called vocal fry, which is a soft creak as you speak.
I've heard of vocal fry before. A lot of people think of it as like the way the Kardashians speak, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I think uptalk and vocal fry is very much a Kardashian thing.
Yeah.
I think both of those things are certainly peddled by the Kardashians. But here there's a journalist and content creator, Sophia Smith-Gaylor, who's explaining uptalk.
Uptalk is speaking with a rising intonation, and it's traditionally been a politeness strategy. It softens what we're saying, often in the hope it will then persuade people, or to try and delicately affect change. So compare, for example, it's really important we care about this, with it's really important we care about this. It's really important we care about this makes you think I haven't finished the point that I'm making.
No, it doesn't. It just makes me want to punch that person in the face.
I'm not surprised that it's women who do this.
It's really important we care about this. It just, no. I immediately think I'm not going to care a jot about whatever you're saying. when I hear a phrase like that. I immediately get, my heckles are up.
I think you say that, but I don't think you really mean it.
Well done, Soane. Yeah, you may. Oh, you've got a bit of uptalk potential, which we will find out in just a few moments' time. But what about vocal fry? Here is an even more annoying demonstration of vocal fry, described as low gravelly vowel sounds.
What can I get you?
I'd like a large coffee.
Okay, so hot coffee.
Hot coffee.
Okay, room for cream.
Totally leave room for cream.
Why are you talking like that?
Why are you talking like that?
Because this is my voice.
This is my voice.
That got me straight away. That got me. Oh, it makes my skin crawl.
Now, this phenomenon is known as influencer speak. It predates TikTok. Now, there were linguistic quirks that emerged on YouTube, Instagram. I mean, we're talking 10 years ago, but TikTok's proclivity, its low barrier to entry, it's actually got far more creators and, you know, I think far more video kind of personalities than Instagram now. Mm-hmm. And crucially, a lot more of them are female than male.
Right.
Now, Christopher Streloff, who is an associate professor of linguistics at the University of Warwick, have suggested that TikTok voice is particularly associated with young women who are often linguistic innovators. He says the way young women use language is the future of the way language evolves. So any changes we hear by young women are probably the future of English, he told National World. Now, research has consistently found this to be the case. Several studies have suggested men have lagged behind women by a whole generation when it comes to linguistic change.
But that also seems to suggest that this is when these changes happen, that women lead us in that direction. So in 50 years' time, aren't we all going to be speaking like that?
I hope not. Wow. I really hope not. I just, yeah.
Oh, somebody's just messaged on the text lines.
Ooh, Andy.
That soundbite wasn't Sonal.
Andy.
Oh, we're going to hear Sonal's attempts.
Ouch.
At uptalk and influencer
Ouch.
Speak. And I happen to believe that, Sonal, if you went onto TikTok, you could be a viral sensation. Now, Christian Ilbury, who's a lecturer in sociolinguistics at the University of Edinburgh, suggests that these speech patterns have emerged because it allows creators to, quote, hold the conversational floor.
I don't think I know what that means, really.
But just to kind of, yeah, like, hold one's attention.
Yeah.
Keep people. It's, you know, when you see videos with those quick cuts and, like, they're all sped up and, like, they're all kind of structured the same way.
Yeah.
They're all designed really to hook you in and keep you watching, essentially. But
yeah.
Here, Sophia points to the root cause of these trends.
Both vocal fry and uptalk are floor-holding strategies, deploying a rising intonation or longer vowel sounds to try and keep you hanging on every word. Which, if we think about speaking for social media and video retention rates, that all makes sense. We are perhaps linguistically responding to what we think is going to perform well on the algorithm.
I think it's just, you know, a mode in which a couple of people have seen this done before and that everybody's just imitating each other until it becomes the way that you speak on TikTok.
Yes, I think you're right. You're right. And another way apparently that TikTok is influencing language is through the choice of words people use. So in his research, Ilbury describes the sorts of speech patterns we encounter on social video as, quote, digital style, which has different subgenres. If you want to make a video about what you ate today, for example, an experienced TikToker knows to say, what I ate in a day, right at the top of the video.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about your family home's Mexican memorabilia, you know to start the video by saying, things in my Mexican family home that just make sense.
Yeah, there are certain sound bites and phrases that start every video.
Now, the world is going to the absolute dogs, and there's nothing. We are powerless to stop it.
Well, all we can do is make fun of it, right?
We did, and we jumped on this bandwagon, and Sonal, we did a little script for Sonal, and she's given TikTok a go.
Yeah.
Okay.
We want you guys to give her a little grade.
I've got two versions. I got two versions for you. Do you want the original?
Let's go with the original.
Hey, you guys. I recently got back from my Rome alone, and no cap, I was low-key salty that the guys had totally forgotten my birthday. Don't want to flex, but I got into work today and they had gifted me a brand new limited edition Adventure Quencher 40-ounce Stanley Cup. No cap. You know me, guys. I don't like throwing shade, but I didn't have the heart to tell my coworkers I already own 66 Stanley Cups, including the hot pink special Valentine's Day edition that Bay got me from Target after he ran into a bunch of simps and told them to catch hands. Dead. Now the guys at work are like, do you like it? And is it the right color? And All I want to do is tell them to take several seats. It's like, fam, Stanley Cups were bougie in like 2019. This is 2024 already. Can I get a vibe check? Hit me up in the comments below.
That's very good, sir.
I would just like to, like, everyone to know the delivery may have been mine, but the content was all Rob.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
And
no,
I don't know what half of that meant.
when Bay told people to catch hands, he was actually inviting them to have a fight.
Much like my SAT comprehension test, I picked it up from context. I don't know.
Would Maddie ever tell someone to catch hands?
Maybe I should just go home and surprise him tonight and just start speaking like that and see what his reaction is.
You should honestly, I guarantee you,
roll with it.
You've got the perfect voice for it. If you jumped on TikTok with that kind of spiel, you would go viral. 100% guaranteed.
I feel a little upset that I can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have a new respect for you.
Isn't that the opposite of how you've just been saying you feel about anybody that speaks like that?
There's a little up talk there, so be careful.
All right. I don't know quite what to make of it, but you never know. Give us a couple of years. We might all be speaking like that. In fact, we'll check how Robbie's doing in a couple of years. You never know.
I'll jump on the bandwagon.
The Off-Script Podcast.
The number of the day is... Five.
In.
Five.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Let's spin the wheel and find out our random topic for the week.
The suspense is killing me here.
Politics.
Politics.
Who saw that one coming?
Oh, that is, and to borrow from an earlier topic of conversation, that's a bit of a hot potato, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, are you ready for this, Rob? Do you think you can muster something up to talk about? I know you're a little wary, a little cautious of ruffling any feathers.
You know we love wading
of...
into politics, yeah. So when we get a chance. I'm going to talk about how Donald Trump is running out of music to play at his rallies. And I'm going to tell you very quickly the reason why we're talking about this. And then we're going to get into our five in five. Because the latest person to take umbrage at the deployment of his band's song at a Trump rally is none other than Smith's guitarist and co-songwriter Johnny Marr.
A legend.
Now, he signaled that he will move to stop Donald Trump's presidential campaign, which seems to be hurtling towards an inevitable rematch with Joe Biden, from using the band's music as his rallies. He actually responded on X after a user shared footage of a Trump rally in South Dakota, of all places, in which the Smith song, Please, Please, Please Let Me Get What I Want, can be heard playing as the crowd waits for the former president to come on stage. Let's take a listen.
That's definitely a strange message.
It would actually be the second time. It would be the second time. And in many people's books, that's still two times too many. He wrote on X in response. He said, right. Okay. I never in a million years would have thought this could come to pass. Consider this bleep shut right down now. Okay. Now, the Smiths' music has actually been heard at multiple Trump rallies recently, including at his rally in Laconia, New Hampshire on Monday. But there's way more than five musicians that have objected to their music being used in the same way.
What's interesting about some of these choices is, as Raj kind of pointed out in the break, it's hardly a rousing anthem. It's kind of like slow, sleepy acoustic. Kind of acoustics.
Yeah.
And also kind of pleading lyrics that we're having there. And it's just
as we'll find out, some of the song choices are ironic. Some of them are just plain strange and don't really fit. And just some of them have been shot down in the most brilliant way as well. But there is one, and we're going to get to this, and we'll save the best till last. There is one that I argue was actually a brilliant use of the song by the DT.
Okay.
Let's get to the next artist on our list. Number two. Here's Donald in 2016, clearly signifying an allegiance to a famous British crooner.
Well, I think it's so unfair because, you know, Hillary Clinton goes to see an Adele concert last night, and everybody says, oh, wasn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? I have stopped. I did 8 stops yesterday, 3 major rallies where, you know, where I told you 25 and 15 and 20. And it's thousands of people.
He was obviously jealous he missed out on the Adele concert because he started pumping out Rolling in the Deep at his rallies. OK, and he received this quite swift rebuttal.
A spokesperson for Adele told CBS News, Adele has not given permission for her music to be used for any political campaigning. Earlier, I asked Trump's national spokesperson, Katrina Pearson, about it, and here's what she said.
It's an insult to the individuals who most likely purchase their music, considering how the people that schedule these things are the locals, not Donald Trump or the campaign themselves. But you know what happens? It's politics. Everyone has their political position, and you know, it happens all the time.
I didn't realize that that's how they do it. They look at what sort of the local population is rated on some sort of
I want to believe that Donald is in, well, yeah. Back then he was in, well, he wasn't in the White House actually on either of those occasions. He was running for president in 2016. I want to believe he's in his office thumbing through Spotify.
Yeah.
Picking out songs that, because some of them are just so
titles
him.
That he likes.
Some of them are just his personal favourites.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to believe that he is handpicking all the songs that appear at his rallies.
You can see him kind of yodeling along to Adele.
Yeah.
You know, in the Oval Office.
And he knew that Hillary Clinton was at an Adele concert, so he's obviously paying some attention. Anyway, he also fell foul of Creedence Clearwater Revival frontman John Fogerty's political persuasions. Now, he started blaring Fortunate Son at his rallies, and this did not amuse the songwriter one little bit. Now, Fortunate Son, it's not just a Vietnam War protest song. It actually calls out the so-called draft dodgers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys covered this. Fortunate kids who were plucked out of conscription by their rich and influential fathers, many of whom were politicians. Listen to John Fogerty explain the irony of Trump using his song.
I did not know Donald Trump in 1968 or 9, but all these years later, when he became president, you kind of, wow, you heard about these different things, and he seemed to be the exact person I was writing the song about, which, you know, that sat there for a couple of years until he started having rallies. Then it became funny.
So basically,
it's a song intended to insult him and Donald, his kind of prototype of person.
He is the fortunate son.
Right.
I mean, he is the son of the very rich man who in this instance would have been plucked out of conscription. And he is the target of the song Fortunate Son, which he is using to stir up patriotic pride at his rallies.
Incredible.
It's
a
great song.
In a weird way, though, is he not then reclaiming that and saying, yeah, I am the fortunate son?
Maybe he is.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
Maybe he is. Yeah, good idea. Yeah, good point.
He definitely hasn't thought about that.
No, he probably hasn't. He just likes the song.
Yeah, exactly.
Needless to say, the boss, Brucey, he also got involved after getting irked by Trump's penchant for playing Born in the USA at his rallies. Now, rather than take legal action, he just announced his support for Hillary Clinton. This was back in 2016. And he actually campaigned in support of her. As a result, the song would actually start to get booed every time Trump would play it at his rallies from that point on.
That's quite clever.
On the eve of the 2016 presidential election, Bruce gave this address at one of the several thousand concerts he played that year.
This is a man whose vision is limited to little beyond himself, who has the profound lack of decency that would allow him to prioritize his own interests and ego before American democracy itself.
I love how he's strumming on the guitar as he's doing this. This is a man, chord change to B minus. Yeah. Who has
it
no
really,
decency, C
really
major.
Works.
He sounded very presidential.
It's like performance
there, his
art
delivery.
There.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, he was. He was going through. Anyway, Trump, of course, had the last laugh because he beat Hillary Clinton to secure the White House. And finally, the biggest name in rock music to stick it to the Donald has got to be these guys.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head?
Now, there's a brilliant backstory to this song. And I have to say, full hats off. I remember, I think I saw this at the time, and it was just brilliant. You have to commend it. Nickelback, of course, indicated that they did not support Trump's use of the song Photograph.
Once again, not exactly a rousing song
crowd
pumped.
No, there's a reason why he used it.
Okay.
Okay, and it will all become apparent. So Trump tweeted, back when X was Twitter, a doctored version of the song and music on the video. Now, the band's record label, Warner Music Group, issued a copyright claim, and that actually led to the video being taken down. But Trump's tweet was genius. He placed a photo of Joe and Hunter Biden playing golf with two foreign diplomats and photoshopped it into the following clip montage.
Have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh.
Okay, that one's, we'll give that one
right
to him.
That's good, right? Yeah, so it's basically, I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. And then it's, and then they label the guys. It's like the such and such minister for oil in such and such a country, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, then some other high-ranking minister. And then obviously Donald's use of the song Nickelback.
Yeah, we're definitely giving him that one. I mean, that one's very clever. Really enjoyed that. 5 for 5.
That was good.
Can't imagine you had all of that just ready to go on politics.
Amazing.
Just at a whim. Yeah, really impressive, Rob. Really enjoyed that.
The Off Script Podcast.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please do go ahead and click subscribe. You can also check out our other podcasts, Time Capsule or The Big Interview. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
The Off Script Podcast.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please do go ahead and click subscribe. You can also check out our other podcasts, Time Capsule or The Big Interview. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.